I want to look at some passages just about prayer, and then we'll just go on and go from there. In Romans chapter 12, and we're going to cover a few, so try to keep up. If you can't, just write them down, check them out tonight, or this day when you go home, the references. I want you to understand how we to live in the dispensation of grace. When we get sick, do we need, do we pray for healing? Do we go and do like the religious system wants to do and anoint people with oil? The thing about when God healed in the Bible, He healed and they were healed immediately. There was no, there wasn't nothing like go home and a few days you start getting better and you say, oh, it worked. No, it was done on the spot. Jesus Christ went up to a man that had a withered hand and he immediately healed that man so that man's hand was no longer withered. It was there, normal. Right on the spot, right before people's eyes, they could see it. A man that was born blind and had no eyeballs in his socket, Jesus Christ went down and took dirt, mud, clay, spit in it, and molded and put it in his eyes. He literally made him eyeballs. And put it in his eye sockets, and immediately that man, he told him to go wash the stuff off of his face, and he goes and washed, and he can see right on the spot. There was people that had palsy and they were shaken, they couldn't control, and the Lord would heal them right there. And immediately it would leave them and they were healed. Now that ain't what's going on today. And whenever they tell you that so-and-so we saw this, it's always in Lower Siblovia somewhere that you've never heard of back there. They see a hand grow, and it's always somewhere on the other side of the world where you couldn't check it out if you wanted to. So what is going on? So how are we to live? If God, that's God's program then, but He's not doing it today. Well, the Lord done what He did to confirm the messages of those apostles and to validate their message and them men that they was God, and He was giving signs and wonders to the nation Israel. But Israel became lo and my, not my people. And there's no signs today to give to no nation because God is not recognizing one nation above other nations, but God is sending out His message of grace to all nations, to all mankind, and telling them the good news that His Son died for their sins and they can have eternal life simply by believing on His Son. That's the miracle today. So I want you to look at some things, how we should pray. And I believe Paul, and I can't cover all the verses, but I'm going to give you some of them. In Romans chapter 12, notice in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now you want to see an example, a biblical example of being instant in prayer. What does that mean? Well, turn to Chronicles and look in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. What does he mean by being instant in prayer? In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, notice in verse verse 20. in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 20. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. Why? For they cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them because they put their trust in them. In other words, to be instant in prayer is to be able to talk to the Lord in the middle of the situation. In the middle of the battle, they cried to the Lord. I mean, when the thing going on, Lord, help us here. We're right on Johnny on the spot. So prayer has to do with trusting. If you didn't trust in the Lord, you would never call upon the Lord. If you didn't trust that the Lord was going to hear you, why would you even pray? So actually, prayer is a trust. These people saw the battle. They saw the situation that they were in, and they realized we can't handle that situation, and right in the middle of it, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord was entreated and heard their prayer and answered their prayer. So what is being instant in prayer? That's going down there and all of a sudden something arises in your life and you know you can't handle it. God, I need help here. That's instant in prayer. It's not that you got to go to some certain space or some certain spot or some certain tabernacle or go to a man or anything. God will hear you right on the spot where you stand in any given situation if you'll talk to Him. That's trust. Prayer. I look in 2 Chronicles and notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Here's another illustration of instant in prayer. Look in verse 14. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind them. I mean, they were surrounded by the enemy. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priest sounded with the trumpets, and the men of Judah gave a shout, and the men of Judah, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam. Verse 16, the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Why? Verse 18, thus were the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. To be instant in prayer, you rely upon the Lord. You trust the Lord. You cry unto the Lord. You lay the situation at His feet, knowing that you can't handle it. And God, have faith that He believes, hears you. I'm just not going to go on, but look in chapter 14, 2 Chronicles 14. Notice in verse Asa talking about, in verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power to help us. O Lord our God, for we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against Thee. And the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. No doubt about what being instant in prayer is. It's being in the relationship, calling upon the Lord in any given situation in your life. Now, isn't that wonderful that you have a God that is there, Johnny on the spot, that can hear you? So as people say, do you believe in prayer? I sure do. I've seen it work. The next thing is praying according to His will. Look at another passage of Scripture. Look in Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians. So we're to be instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, what? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is it to pray without ceasing? It's always being a middle attitude of prayer. It's just there. You talk to the Lord like you talk to your best friend or your spouse or your husband or wife. I mean, you don't have to have an appointment. You don't have to have a special place to go to talk to each other. You just talk. Pray without ceasing. Being in the right attitude of prayer. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now I'm just giving you some verses about prayer that Paul talks about it in chapter 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now the key in that verse is praying in the Spirit. We'll look at that in just a moment. People don't know what that means, praying. They think it's some kind of spiritual thing. You get in a corner somewhere and meditate, or you're speaking in some tongue, praying in the Spirit. It ain't got nothing to do with that. Let's try another and turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4. Notice in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Then we're to pray. Now let me say this, that God will give you everything He promised to give you in Romans through Philemon. Now, did y'all hear what I said? Everything that God promised to give you, will give you in Romans through Philemon. Now let's look at some things. Compare with me Matthew. Go back to Matthew and notice in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and notice in verse 22. Matthew chapter 21 verse 22. And all things. Now here's what the religious system will teach you. And in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye what? Now I want you to be honest with me. Have you ever asked the Lord for something and you didn't get it? Have you? Whether it be somebody sick and you pray for them, or whatever it is, if everybody would be honest, there's somewhere, sometime, you've asked the Lord, believing, and you didn't get it. Is that verse a lie? No, it's not. That verse is just as true as the ones I read to you. Let's try it again. Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14. It's a good one. In John chapter 14. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you. This is the 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, you can't claim that if your life was dependent upon it. There is nobody in this building that can do the works that Jesus Christ did. And if you can, let's go down to the river. I want to see you walk on water. Jesus Christ walked on water. There was a time when there was a storm on the sea. And the disciples was on a boat. And here come the Lord walking across on that water. And they thought it was a spirit. He said, "Not no spirit." And Peter said, "Lord, bid me to come unto you." And the Lord said, "Come." And the Bible said Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. He's going to the Lord. And all of a sudden he saw the waves, and he saw the wind, the blowing, and the waves, and he got scared. He took his eyes off of the Lord and around on the water. He started to go down. He said, "Lord, save me." And immediately the Lord grabbed him. But he walked on water. Have you ever tried to walk on water? Look what he said. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now verse 13, now watch it. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now folks, you know and I know that that is not to you as a member of the body of Christ. You can't do the works that the Lord did. And there might be some charismatics that might get a hold of those tapes or whatever. I want to tell you, you know them charismatic preachers that get up on Sunday morning and talking about healing people and having them to come down, and just like the girls went to a church and the guy brought the oil out, and on the thing goes, they don't have power to do them healing and to do what the disciples did. They're not empowered by the Spirit of God to do that. You know they go to the hospital. You think they got members in the hospital. Why don't they take the oil to the hospital and anoint them so that their members don't have to pay a big hospital bill that they can't afford to pay, and get them out of the hospital and heal them? Bunch of con artists using the Bible and merchandising the Bible for their own glory. You say, "Why do you get started?" It makes me mad. Now, I get fired up over stuff like that. I don't like to see people being used like the religious system is using them. These people, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that you, he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you." He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. These men, by the Spirit of God, was empowered to perform these miracles. You're not empowered by the Spirit of God. You're sealed with the Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the Bible says there, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." In chapter 1 of Ephesians, he talks about, in verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." The believers today in the body of Christ are not empowered by the Spirit of God. They're sealed by the Spirit of God by being baptized out of Adam into Christ. By one Spirit are you baptized into the body of Christ, and you're made one with Him. And you're sealed in that body by the Spirit. But bless your heart, you're not empowered by the Spirit of God. But these men were. In fact, turn to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ spent 40 days with them. In verse 3, "Seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Note in verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel, like it was under Solomon's time? Is it now you're going to do it?" They're not looking for the rapture of the church. They're looking for the kingdom to be set up. There's the King, King of Kings there. There he is. There's the Messiah. "Lord, at this time you go..." He didn't say, "No, I'm not going to never do it." He just said of the times and seasons. He said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit for power to do the miracles that they did. And they had the gift of knowledge. That's why, look in Acts chapter 5. In verse 1. "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira with his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." They got together, they sold a partial land, but they said, "We're not going to give it all, we'll just give part of it and say this is what we got for it." Who would know that? Well, look at who tell you. Verse 3, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back part of the price of that land?" Now, how did Peter know that? He had power. He had the gift of knowledge. He had the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, by the way, before we go to 1 John, go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And take also Matthew 24. Then we'll go to 1 John. Why did they need all of that power in Matthew chapter 10? Notice what he said. in verse 19. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But when they persecute you into this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. All right, they're looking for the Son of Man to come. The second coming of Christ, right here. But they got to get to that point. And that they're going through this tribulation. He that endure to the end. The end is here, the second coming. And so they're in this time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time that God's going to be pouring out His wrath on this world. He's going to speak to the world in His wrath. He's speaking to them in grace today. So they got to get to this end. This is where they get their sins took care of. And he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Look in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, notice verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Isn't that something? Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be spoken. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Well, I know who that is. That's in the middle of the trib. verse 24, and there shall arise false Christ, false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Right here. False prophets is going to be there. False Christ. And they're going to show signs and wonders, counterfeits. So they got to have some power. And they're going to be doing the power. Look in 1 John. And I'll try to get through. You know how my voice gets sometimes. I don't know what it is. I think it's that messenger of Satan that Kevin was talking about. He just, you know, sometimes... I think there's one messenger and use many people. Yeah. But anyway. Chapter 2, verse 20. Here's what Peter had in Acts 5, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know how many things? What? Boy, that's something, ain't it? Now I'll ask you something. Do you know all things? We like to think we do, but we don't. Look in verse 20. 6, and these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing, this is not what the girls received, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Why do you not need nobody to teach you? Because you have that unction. I mean, if you knew all things, you wouldn't need nobody to teach you, right? But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. In this time, there's going to be people preaching and false prophets And they're going to need that unction. They're going to need that power. They're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they go out and they're knowing all things. Now, what about you? Well, let's don't quit quite yet. Turn to James. These people in here, they cannot take of the mark of the beast. Jesus said, whosoever saveth his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. So they can't take of the mark of the beast. If you don't have the mark of the beast, what can't you do? Can't sell. If you can't do all of that, you couldn't go to a doctor, could you? Look in James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. You know why they're going to have that? They can't buy or sell. Do you know why the signs in Mark 16, he that drinketh anything, poison, not hurt him, take up deadly, they're going to be out there in the wilderness. Folks, it's hard to tell what they're liable to drink. But they have that power that you don't have. Now, how do we live? Quickly, turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to try my best before it just goes out, and I hope you can hear me. David might have to turn the mic up. I don't know. So I'm just going to give you the scriptures and we're going to go. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Do we know what to pray for? Why? We have an infirmity. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Do you realize the He in verse 27 is Jesus Christ? And He searches your heart. And He makes requests and intercessions for you. And every request that He makes for you is according to the will of God, and you'll get it. So what about all of this? How should we pray? Should we pray when we're sick? Absolutely. If the doctor diagnoses you with a disease, a cancer, whatever, you're to pray. Pray for what? Well, look with me in Philippians. Pray for your healing. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You're to let your requests be made known, whatever they are. whether it's concerning sickness, whether it's concerning whatever it's concerning, you got a request, let it be made known unto God. Talk to God about it. Now look back in chapter 2. What do we pray for when we're sick? We pray for His mercy. Look in chapter 6, verse 26. For He longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that He had been sick. Talking about Epaphroditus in verse 25. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Look down in verse 30. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, Epaphroditus, he was on the verge of dying. And God had mercy on him. You don't know whether the Lord will have mercy on you. It's whether it's according to His will. So you let your request be made known. And you know that He maketh intercessions for you according to His will. And if it's the will of the Lord to have mercy on you, He'll have mercy on you. And if it's not, He'll give you grace to bear it until He takes you home. Either way, it's walking by faith, knowing the Lord is in charge of every situation that comes your way. So how do we pray? What are we to do? Well, look in Colossians. Another thing we do, we pray that God will have mercy on us. And you know how He has mercy? I want you to take Colossians and 2 Timothy and compare something with me. In Colossians and 2 Timothy, right before Paul gets his head cut off, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he said, only, who's that character? Only Luke is with me. Look in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. See who Luke is. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved, what? The beloved physician. He's a doctor. And Luke followed Paul around. And he was a physician. But what does that tell you? When you're sick, go to the doctor and pray for God's mercy. And He'll use the doctors and the medical personnel and the nurses and all the staff. And if He has mercy, He'll heal you and have mercy. That doctor followed Paul around and took care of Paul. And that's what we're to do. When I'm sick, I could have prayed. I had that growth, whatever it was, a cyst in pressing on that nerve. I can just say, Lord, just touch my back. I pray, Lord, it hurts. Just and you know the thought comes, go to the doctor. Oh, God, heal me. Go to the doctor. The Lord just touched me. Heal me. Go to the doctor. You see, folks, in the day that we live in what is called the dispensation of grace. There's no manifestation of His power and outward. We're spiritual believers. But God gives knowledge. You understand? You know how these men have knowledge? You know, it's amazed me. I watch the medical channel or something and watch them do surgeries and show, and it's amazing. Men cuts into the brain, does brain surgery, and they take hearts and they repair hearts and they do what they do. That's amazing to me. And I think what James says, the wisdom cometh from above. You know who gave the doctors the knowledge to work on your body? The Creator of your body. So what do you do when you're sick? Go to the doctor. So I don't believe in doctors. Stay home and die. So, folks, it's just simple as ABCs today. They had the power of to do all of this. Back here in Matthew, Jesus Christ came on the scene and He healed every disease right on the spot. He had the power, and He gave His power through the power of the Holy Spirit to the 12, the little flock, and that new nation, and they were performing miracles, and the shadows of them would heal people, and on the thing goes, a sign to the nation Israel of that coming kingdom. But we don't have that today. Jesus Christ today is dealing in grace, and we have infirmities in the flesh.